Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen Amma ba'd Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another fantastic episode of the Silsila, The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, whichever city, whichever country, whichever hemisphere you are in, we are hoping that you and your family are safe and sound. Do make dua for the grief-stricken ummah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wherever they are suffering in the world. Because I'm sure you know that in some part of the world, you would have believers, fellow Muslims, that are going through great trials and tribulations, that are being oppressed severely. The innocent men, women, children, elderly, make dua for them that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu protects them against the mischief of the oppressors. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we have yet another very inspiring, empowering, and motivational topic for you and I. We are going to be talking about how they say in English, a proverb, that cleanliness is next to godliness. So about purity, about tahara, about being tayyib and pure, cleanliness, these concepts are practically taught in our pure and beautiful deen of Islam, our beautiful religion of Islam, this complete and comprehensive way of living, this lifestyle, the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is replete and complete with emphasis on living a pure life, purity internally and externally as well. Let's recall the beautiful hadith first. Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make some good intentions in order to gain more reward from the merciful court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah azza wa jal, I am watching, I'm listening to this silsila of Madani Channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and convey this message to others as well. This is so important for us, that whatever beneficial knowledge that I gain, I don't just keep it to myself, but I translate that into practicing upon it, and then I share it with others, with other Muslims, in particular starting in my household, so that I can further increase my rewards, because the person that I convey that message to, when they practice upon it, I will also get reward, even if I forget to practice upon it. Subhanallah. Look at the mercy of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. There are so many wonderful bounties, blessings, benefits for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of Durood-e Pak, salawat, or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the ummah, our most merciful master, the last prophet of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the person who recites durood upon me 1,000 times every day will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. I'm sure you may have heard of this narration several times already. But what is important is that have I started to practice upon this? Have I implemented this in my life? Because I would love that. that before I close my eyes permanently from this dunya, from this world, that I see, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show that fortunate person, their place in paradise through a dream before they leave the world. So if we want that honor, we want that privilege as well, let us practice. And let us make our minds up, change our mindset, that as I take our time for other things, if I'm working, if my family member is sick, my child is sick, my spouse, then I'll knock off early from work and take them to the hospital or the doctor. How I make time for my recreational activities, to fulfill my hobbies, to go on vacation and holiday, or some other things. I need to dedicate some time every day for my own benefit in this world, in the grave, and on the Day of Judgment. And dedicate some of the time to recite Quran Pak, Durud Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, and seeking knowledge of Deen from authentic sources, which Dawud Islami has the material, the content, and the facilities as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, we have a beautiful kalam, which I'm sure you will enjoy and receive some inspiration to do further good deeds. We'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
मैं छोड़े जा रहा हूँ दर तुम्हारा या रसूल अल्लाह, मैं छोड़े जा रहा हूँ दर तुम्हारा या रसूल अल्लाह, भुलाना जल्द मुझको फिर खुदारा رسول اللہ, میں چھوڑے جا رہا ہوں دل تمہارا یا رسول اللہ, بلانا جلد مجھ کو پھر خدا را یا رسول اللہ. نگاہ گنبد خضرا کو تکتی جھک جاتی, نگاہیں گنبد خضرا کو تکتی اور جھک جاتی, نظر سے چھپ گیا اب وہ نظارہ یا رسول اللہ, نظر سے چھپ گیا اب وہ نظارہ یا رسول اللہ. میں چھوڑے جا رہا ہوں در تمہارا یا رسول اللہ, بلانا جلد مجھ کو پھر خدا را یا رسول اللہ. نہ جانے پھر میسر حاضری ہو کب تیرے در کی, نہ جانے پھر میسر حاضری ہو کب تیرے در کی, سلام آخری لے لو ہمارا یا رسول اللہ, سلام آخری لے لو ہمارا یا رسول اللہ.
چھوڑے جا رہا ہوں دل تمہارا یا رسول اللہ, یا رسول اللہ جلد مجھ کو پھر خدا را یا رسول اللہ.
یہ آنکھیں رو رہی ہے اور دل پر غم کا غلبہ ہے, یہ آنکھیں رو رہی ہے اور دل پر غم کا غلبہ ہے کہ پھر یاد آ گیا روزہ تمہارا یا رسول اللہ, کہ پھر یاد آ گیا روزہ تمہارا یا رسول اللہ. میں چھوڑے جا رہا ہوں در تمہارا یا رسول اللہ, بلانا جلد مجھ کو پھر خدا را یا رسول اللہ. وہ ممبر کی بہاریں اور وہ محراب کا جلوہ, وہ ممبر کی بہاریں اور وہ محراب کا جلوہ, ملے گا کب مجھے ایسا نظارہ یا رسول اللہ, ملے گا کب مجھے ایسا نظارہ یا رسول اللہ.
چھوڑے جا رہا ہوں در تمہارا یا رسول اللہ, بولا سنا جلد مجھ کو پھر خدا را یا رسول اللہ.
تمہیں رخصت مجھے اے کاش ایسا سوز مل جاتا, دمِ رخصت مجھے اے کاش ایسا سوز مل جاتا, کہ ہو جاتا میرا دل پارا پارا یا رسول اللہ, کہ ہو جاتا میرا دل پارا پارا یا رسول اللہ.
میں چھوڑے جا رہا ہوں در تمہارا یا رسول اللہ, بلانا جلد مجھ کو پھر خدا را یا رسول اللہ. میں چھوڑے جا رہا ہوں در تمہارا یا رسول اللہ, بولا سنا جلد مجھ کو پھر خدا را یا رسول اللہ.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Welcome back. I'm sure you enjoyed that kalam. These kalams are there to further embed and infuse our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, to also infuse our hearts with the love of all Sahaba-i-Kiram alayhim ridwan, all Ahlul Bayt Athar and all Awliya Allah, so that we get inspiration to tread in their footsteps and imitate them, emulate them, because in that lies our success in dunya, qabr and akhirah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, our topic of discussion is with regards to purity, cleanliness, tahara. Purity is paramount. Islam is built on the foundation of purity. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. That, O people, indeed Allah is pure. He only accepts that which is pure. This word طيب means purity. But when it is ascribed to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, it means that He is free from all defects. Whatever defect, whatever shortcoming that exists, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely free from all of that. We say Allah Pak. Pak means pure, means tayyib, means tahir. And subhanallah azza wa jal, Allah jalla jalaluhu is free from whatever type of shortcoming, defect, impurity, any type of that can never ever be ascribed to Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. With this in mind, it is not possible for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to, for example, speak lies. It is not possible for Allah Jalla Jalaluhu to cheat anyone, anybody, to deceive anyone. These things are, in a sense, impurities because they are defects. Yes, we, the common folk, the common people, we can be plagued with these kind of problems, that a person lies, cheats, steals, deceives, earns that which is haram and forbidden. So yes, we can attribute that to ourselves. The Anbiya alayhim salam, the Mursaleen alayhim salam, the prophets and messengers of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst the creation of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, a ma'soom. They are absolutely sinless and incapable of committing sins. So too are the malaika, the pure angels of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So only the category of the prophets alayhimu salam, the messengers alayhimu salam, and the malaika, the angels alayhimu salam, they are ma'soom, they are incapable of committing sins, they are pure. Subhanallah azza wa jal. So, the hadith that was mentioned, that, O people, indeed Allah is pure, and He only accepts that which is pure. And so Allah azza wa jal only accepts that which is pure. And He is pure from all defects, because Himself azza wa jal is pure and He loves purity. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu only approves of that belief or those beliefs that are void of shirk, of polytheism, disbelief, kufr, heresy, fanatical and corrupt beliefs. Because all those things are also, they also fall under the category of impurities. Internal purity, the internal purity of polytheism, worshipping other than Allah, associating partners with Allah. Even a person may reject that there is any Allah. So any type of belief which is against the Islamic beliefs, which are the pure beliefs, it is the Islamic values, the Islamic beliefs which are the pure beliefs. Whatever is opposite to that, pure, is impure. Allahu Akbar. So likewise, this concept of kufr, of disbelief and shirk and polytheism and corrupt beliefs is something also internally. And also internally, things like ostentation, riya, showing off, things like arrogance, pride, enmity, malice, these are internal or inner impurities. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is very far from these things. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not love a heart that is plagued with these types of impurities. Because when we talk about purity and impurity, many of us, we just focus on the external, on the apparent, meaning one's clothing, one's body, how one smells, the surroundings. But as important, maybe more important, is the internal purity of the heart, of the mind as well. A narration mentions that, you know, there is an organ in the body. If it is sound, then the rest of the body is sound. And if it is not sound, if it is sick, then the rest of the body is sick. Ala wa hiya al-qalb. Beware, that is the heart. So this condition of the heart internal. That's where purity starts from and then extends to the external, to the outside. An individual that loves talking obscenities, vulgarism, where is this coming from? It comes from a vulgar mind. It comes from a mind which is depraved, who loves to talk about dirty things, filthy things. This is part, it is under the category of impurity as well. You may find some people that they love to, almost every second word, they love to mention some swear word, some vulgar word. They like to joke about obscene things. And they are known as entertainers. People joke and laugh. No, it's just a joke, man. It's harmless. No, Islam doesn't teach this. Did the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever talk bad things, evil things, dirty things? Yet I say I love Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I follow the path of those that are impure and who spew out impurities because of their mind. Their mind is impure, their heart is impure. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. Let us come back to the true teachings, the pure teachings of Islam. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu states in Al-Quran, Surah At-Tawbah, verse 108, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wallahu yuhibbul mutahhirin. Translation from Ganzul Iman. And Allah loves the pure. Allah loves the pure. Internally pure and externally pure as well. Cleansing the ummah of impurities and uncleanliness was amongst the significant purposes of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arrival into this world. To teach Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that to only worship Allah jalla jalaluhu, to guide us to the pleasure of Allah, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to purify us as well. When Sayyiduna Nabi Ibrahim, Khalilullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, was overseeing and building, constructing the Kaaba Sharif, he made a beautiful dua. That dua you'll find also in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 129. He makes a dua. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ربنا وبعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم. Translation from Kanjul Iman. O our Lord, and send amongst them a messenger from themselves that he may recite to them your verses and teach them your book and sound knowledge, wisdom, and purify them well. Allahu Akbar. This refers to sending a messenger who purifies the people of shirk, of polytheism, of idol worship, and all types of impurities and dirt, carnal actions and flaws and defects as well. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu accepted the dua of Sayyiduna Nabi Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam and sent our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from his progeny. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is there to also purify us. This was one of the things and the duties that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam completely fulfilled, to remove idol worship. We all know about it. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived at Fathu Makkah, at the conquest of Makkah, the Kaaba Sharif was purified of all those idols, because there were idols there inside the Kaaba Sharif. It was completely purified from idols and idol worship as well. Allahu Akbar. We look around us and no person, no sane person would like to live in a surrounding that is unclean, that is dirty, that is untidy, that smells bad, that has bad odors, a normal human being will be repulsed by that, cannot stand to live in that filth. Yet today, in the civilized world, the advanced world, the sophisticated world that we live in, we still find people. We find people intentionally living like that. Some people call them hoarders, where they just, anything they buy, the wrappers, the boxes, food which has gone off, they keep it in their homes and they live in that dirt. A normal human being could not live in that. That everywhere there are boxes and there's food which has gone off and there's filth and dirt and dust and cobwebs strewn all around, where it's even difficult to move from one place to the next place, to walk from one room to the other room. They call them hoarders. Allahu Akbar. How much of infestations, rats, mice, roaches. Which human being would like to live like that? And the bad odors. Yet we have people in today's time living like that. In the dark ages, they call it the dark ages. The so-called civilized first world nations of today are the progeny of those who lived in the dark ages, in the medieval times, in the Middle Ages, primarily of Europe. Why did they call it that? Because people were generally absolutely ignorant. They would live lives of impurity. They would rarely take a bath. Just by looking at them, a person would see the dirt and the dust on their clothes, on their bodies. They would smell bad. They would not wash their hands before eating, after eating. They would not clean themselves when they would relieve themselves. And they were steeped in ignorance and impurity. Impurity internally and externally as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, and Islam came with that torch, with that light of dispelling these kinds of darknesses. Because it's a pure deen, it's a pure religion. The beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam has even said, Islam is a pure religion. Therefore, you too should attain purity. Because it is the one who keeps clean and tidy who will enter Jannah. Hadith Pak. So I need to judge myself. Don't look at your neighbor, don't look at your sibling, don't look at left and right. First, look at yourself. First, judge yourself. What is my condition? What is the condition of my home? My home is my palace. My home is my safe haven. Am I neat and tidy? Is my nature neat and tidy? Do I keep things in their place after using it? Is my kitchen neat and tidy? My dining room, my lounge, my bedroom? Or I just, when I get home, I take out my clothes, chuck it one side. The bed is not even made. The rooms are not even clean, not even swept. There's dust lying all around. Skin that is shed, lying all around. Hair that has fallen. Cobwebs in the ceilings. What is my condition? So I need to judge myself first. I need to first help myself, rectify myself, and then help others to reform and rectify themselves as well. And keep these narrations in mind, that the one who keeps clean and tidy, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the one who keeps clean and tidy will enter Jannah. What if I'm not clean and tidy? Then what? Question to ask ourselves. You ask yourself, I ask myself. What is the condition when I leave my home? My clothing? Do I smell good? Some people, their homes are filthy, dirty, neglected. but they make sure they portray a picture of a purity and piety to the outside world. It should not be like that. Our deen is not restricted to one place only. Not only in the public, not only in the private, it's both. There's no separation between deen and the state. It's all one, it's all connected. Whether the person is a pauper, even if the person is a poor person, still, they should do their best to maintain purity, cleanliness and tidiness as well. Even if the person is a prince, a ruler, they should do their best to ensure that themselves, their surroundings, their kingdom, their subordinates, the people under them, under their care, in their state, in their country, that they have access to clean, pure drinking water. They have access to good food, whole foods, wholesome foods, pure foods, that the air is pure. We see today, we see the pollution today, the air pollution, mass air pollution. We see the noise pollution, water pollution, that from the factories, all those impure, harmful, poisonous chemicals are just dumped into the rivers and the oceans, affecting wildlife, affecting aquatic animals, killing them off, poisoning them. And some of that poison is in their bodies. For example, the fish. We catch the fish. We eat that fish that has that poison, which has been released from those factories, which are contributing to air pollution, that are making the air that we breathe impure, that affects our lungs, affects our body. They're making the water impure. And then we eat the sea creatures, the fish from there, that further deteriorates our health, bringing down our immune system. So eat only that which is pure. Allahu Akbar. Another narration mentions, attain purity with whatever is available to you. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has made cleanliness the foundation of Islam. It is only those who remain clean and tidy that will enter Jannah. That's what the narration says. So clean and tidy. The place can be spotless, but everything is just thrown everywhere. I can understand if you have little kids around, then a child is a child. They'll take their toy from one place and play there and leave it there. They'll take their papers, they'll draw, they'll color, and they'll just keep it on the floor. Or they may go and become artists and scribble on the wall. Yes, we need to teach them, we need to discipline them. That's the parents' duty. But from a young age, we need to also teach them practically by looking at us, by observing us, these concepts, these practical concepts of purity, of cleanliness and tidiness as well. Subhanallah. On another occasion, it is mentioned in a narration, authentic narration, that keep the clothing that you wear clean. Take care of your conveyances, your rides. Your outward appearance should be clean, such that when you go to the people, they respect you. And normally, many of us, we do this. We make sure that our clothes are clean, maybe ironed, and we apply perfume, itr, nice fragrance, so we smell good, we look good. So people give you that respect. Because if somebody comes to you, imagine if you're in your office, and somebody just comes in, and their hair is all disheveled, untidy, their beard is all untidy, not combed, not oiled, they're smelling bad, their clothes are dirty, and they want to have a conversation with you. You will feel repulsed that, you know what, I can't stand the smell. Just look at the person as an eyesore. If the person is homeless, and if you can, help them. Take them to the barber, you know, take them, provide some facility for them that they wash themselves, they clean themselves. If you can, also provide some clothes for them. So try to care for each other. That concern for each other goes a long way. But do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلاۃ و سلام علیک یا سیدی یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. I mentioned earlier that eat that which is pure. Keep your clothes clean. Outside the house or inside the house, because Islam is in the private and in the public as well. It's not confined only to one place. Neither only in the public nor only in the private, but both. A Muslim is a Muslim inside and outside. Inside the house and outside the house. Subhanallah. At any level, whether the person is poor and needy or the person is a ruler of the state of the country, the rules of Islam apply to that individual. And regarding what we eat, we should eat only that which is pure. Now from another side, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, the Quran mentions Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 168.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس كلوا مما في الأرض حلالا طيبا حلالا طيبا ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين.
Translation from Kanzul Iman. O people, eat what is lawful and pure on the earth, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Undoubtedly, he is your open enemy. In Tafsir Suratul Jinan, it is mentioned that halal and tayyib, these words which are in Al-Quran, refer not only to that which is halal in itself, like meat, goat meat, sheep meat, vegetables, lentils, etc., but also that which is acquired through permissible means, through halal sources, and not by stealing, by bribery, corruption, robbery, theft, usurping people's properties and valuables. Not from that. But we find it today in many households out there, Muslim households, just to make an easy money, a quick buck, a person will end up selling drugs because the money is good, it's quick money. Or a person will gamble, go to the casino, or play the lottery, or some other form of gambling, in order to get rich overnight, these get rich quickly, these schemes that are there. No, because if you're using that money which was obtained from haram and prohibited sources, then what you are buying with haram money, that itself is then haram. And you're nourishing your body with haram, with prohibited means, and you're nourishing your children's bodies with haram, with that which is forbidden. Allahu Akbar. Then tomorrow, if they are rebellious and they are against us, if they are disrespectful, disobedient, and I'm thinking, what happened to my child? Why is my child talking like this and behaving in this manner? Why is my child always against me and rebellious? Perhaps this could be a reason. Perhaps I am mixing haram with my halal. Keep this in mind. I need to take care of this as a caregiver, as a provider. The fathers out there, that is your duty, that is your responsibility. Husbands out there, fathers out there, that's one of your primary duties, to provide for your family. Yes, they must have a place to stay, food, water, drink. That's How are you earning that money? How are you earning that wealth? What is written for you, that's what you're going to get. And how you have that limited choice of trying to get that money from halal, al-halal way or haram way. End of the day, you're still going to get what is written for you. So get it from the halal way. Maybe you have to put in a little bit more effort in it. But you know it's halal. And there'll be blessings in that. There are no blessings in haram income. There's no blessings. There's only pain and punishment attached to that. Because that's impure. That haram wealth, that the person, the quick buck, and the get rich quick, those schemes by means of bribery, corruption, stealing, etc., selling drugs, selling alcohol, selling stolen things, stolen items, there's no blessings in that. A person will be accountable and questioned on the Day of Judgment, and those punishments start in this world. The person becomes constricted, and the punishment continues in the grave and intensifies on the Day of Judgment. If I stole something, then besides tawbah, besides sincerely repenting to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, I have to go to that person, repent, ask them for forgiveness and return what belongs to them. That is the pure thing to do, the right thing to do. So purity, it's part of the great teachings of Islam, to eat that which is pure. Today we have so many different types of chemicals which are injected into our veggies, into our meats, into these edible products, which are harmful, which generally harmful for the human being. The Quran mentions in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 51, translation from Ganzul Iman, O messengers, eat pure things and perform good deeds. And also Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 172, translation from Ganzul Iman. O believers, eat the good things that we have provided. The ultimate provider, sustainer, cherisher, nourisher is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is in control of everything. The beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention of a person, a man, who travels widely. His hair is disheveled, untidy, covered in dust. He raises his hands towards the sky and he proclaims, Ya Rabb, O Lord, O Lord. But his food is haram. His drink is haram. His clothes are haram. And he has been nourished with haram. So how will his dua be accepted? Allah, something that we have to think about sincerely and seriously as well. Then we can identify where are the problem areas in my life that are contributing to be barakati, that I have a lack of blessings. How many people have maybe come to you, have come to myself, that you know I'm earning a decent amount, I'm earning a good salary, I just don't know where it disappears before month end. It's just gone. Allahu Akbar. Take a step back. Take a step back and ask yourself and try to determine, try to investigate, what am I doing wrong? How am I contributing to this situation I'm in? Am I in any way earning impure earnings in any way, haram? Am I mixing that with my halal? And if a person does this, judges themselves, they will come to, many will come to some startling conclusions that yes, you know, some things I am doing wrong actually. I am contributing, I'm doing it with my own hands, my own destruction. Allah, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi, یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سیدنا سعد رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ میڈ اے ریکویسٹ ٹو دا بلیوڈ رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, میک دعا دیٹ اللہ ایکسپٹس مائی دعا. The beloved master, the final prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, make your food pure, your du'as will be accepted. The honorable father of the leader of all Sunnis, the leader of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the scholar of Sharia, the destroyer of Bid'ah, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali. His father, Allama Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan, Rahmatullah Ali, says, take care in avoiding haram in your food, your drink, your clothing, and earning. Because the dua of the one who eats haram and does haram is often rejected. These pious people, they knew what they were talking about. They warned us, they advised us that be careful, don't head in this direction. The tricks and traps of shaitan are awaiting. You'll fall into one of them and destroy yourself. You may destroy your iman. This is the direction to take, the path of the pious ones, the path of Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt, the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the path to take. That in that lies salvation and success. And that is true success in this world. True success if I left with iman, my faith intact, and make dua. Make that dua for yourself, for your family, and the Muslims. Ya Allah azza wa jal, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Allah, grant me a good shaheed maut whilst fasting. Whilst fasting in Medina Sharif, grant me burial in Jannatul Baqi. Grant me entry into Al-Firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus, in the company of Aqwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make these du'as every day. Alhamdulillah, azawajal, we have a short clip, a filler, and we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
How often is it that we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We pay our gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has granted us so many blessings. And for each blessing, we ought to pay gratitude in his court. Sayyidina Shaykh Saadi rahimahullah ta'ala, he very beautifully says in his world famous Gulistan Saadi that har nafase ki faro mi rawad mumid de hayatas, that each breath that we take, it lengthens our lifespan. Then he says, Wachu bar mi ayad mufarrihi dhatast. And when it comes out, when we exhale, it provides satisfaction to us. And then he says, Pas dar har nafase do ni'mat mawjoodast. So in each breath, we have been bestowed two blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blessings of inhaling and the blessings of exhaling. Wabar har ni'mati shukri wajibast. And upon each blessing, one shukr, one gratitude is wajib upon us, is obligatory. Allahu Akbar. And then he says in poetry form, Az dasto zaban ki bar ayad. How can it be possible for our hands, for our tongues, kaz ahde shukrash badar ayad, that we are able to pay gratitude, as it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we must pay his gratitude. Allahu Akbar. So this is a great lesson for us to learn the beauty of gratitude and making shukr in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving thanks in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each blessing that we receive. Therefore we say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, Alhamdulillahi ala ni'maihi, Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. آمين بجاه النبي الأمين. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحان الله عز وجل. What a lovely short clip. to inspire us, to empower us as well. Today we were talking about purity is paramount. Look, just have a look at the teachings of Islam. How beautiful, how pure it is. One, a scientist, a professor mentioned recently that in the dark ages, the medieval times, when those so-called civilized nations of today, who are the progeny of those people who lived in the dark ages, especially of Europe, when they were plagued with so many different types of diseases because of their impure habits, because of their lifestyle, which was very dirty, literally dirty. They should just wear their dirty clothes and should bathe occasionally. And in the Muslim lands, especially at that time, even now, for those Muslims who are practical, that the Muslims did not suffer as much from plagues and diseases like those individuals. We are taught, we are ordered by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make wudu, meaning to wash the hands, the mouth before eating and after eating as well. Because you're busy here, you're busy there, you don't know what germs and bacteria are on your hands. And with that, you're going to touch the food and let them enter into your system. So wash your hands before. You need to put soap, clean in between. Rub it nicely. And then you go and eat. Don't even wipe your hands before eating, because those bacteria that's on the towel are going to jump onto your hands. You're going to invite them onto your hands. So you wash, you clean nicely your hands till your wrists, your mouth, you eat your food afterwards, you wash your hands again properly, thoroughly, use soap if you have to, if you're eating curry or something oily, to take that oil off, then you wipe your hands. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, we are taught as well, and we all know this, but look at the purity of Islam. When you go to relieve yourself, then what do you use? Many use also toilet roll, but water as well. Water is the number one thing to purify clothes, your body. We all know that. This is a teaching of Islam. Today we see in the modern era, they have something, bidet or bidet or whatever they want to call it. They're introducing these things on Islamic principles of purity and cleanliness. So yes, others out there, they will adopt many Islamic teachings, because Islam is the number one best. They won't call it, they won't attribute it to Islam. Because of whatever reasons, they won't ascribe it, these are the teachings of Islam. So yes, do this and, purify yourself when you're going to relieve yourself in the washroom with water. They'll come up with their own methodologies, but all learned from Islam, but they won't ascribe it to Islam. So you and I, if we live our lives in accordance with Islamic principles, Islamic values and teachings, then we will be living the purest life in this short life. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.